I will be so emotional. I know I will cry at the finish line. I never cried, but I know that I will cry. It's so many emotions. For me, as you said, it's a journey that I said, okay, I need to run the 6 World Marathon Major. I want to run the most important races in the world. For me, tomorrow is not at the end of just of this journey. There are so many stories. So for me, I know that I will cry. I don't know if I will start before or after the finish, or maybe if when I see my father in the grandstand. I don't know. Maybe when I get the 6th medal on the neck, but it will happen for sure.
Hello, podcast world. Welcome to episode 124 of Run Chats with Ron Runs NYC. Meet Simone Carniglia, 6-star finisher and Guinness World Record holder as the fastest runner with type 1 diabetes, with an amazing average time of 2:42:30 per race. Simone started his running journey to lose weight and was inspired by Stefano Baldini, the great Italian marathoner that won the gold medal at the 2004 Athens Olympics. Running these incredibly fast times is impressive, but for a diabetic, it is significantly more challenging. A diabetic marathoner has to continuously control blood sugar levels in order to be safe, not faint, and perform at their best. They're more subject to cramping and dehydration during physical activity, especially when glucose levels aren't managed properly. Simone has only been running for 5 years and is just getting started. He hopes his journey will inspire many other diabetic athletes to not give up on their dreams and never give up. Simone's story proves with the right training, nutrition, therapy, strategy, and use of the latest technologies such as Abbott Global and Freestyle Libre 3, diabetic runners can achieve amazing results that weren't imaginable just a few short years ago. Simone is grateful for the Abbott Global profile they featured on him for World Diabetes Day and is excited to get started on a second round of World Marathon Majors. Rooting for Simone to keep inspiring and look forward to seeing him out there in 2024. I hope you all enjoy the listen. Simone Carniglia, welcome to Run Chats with Ron Runs NYC. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Hey, it's exciting to have you here. We're up here in New York City overlooking Central Park. We got your dad here from Italia. He's come to visit this huge, momentous occasion for you, getting ready to run the 6-star. And for everybody listening at home, Simone is about to take a swing at being the first type 1 diabetes runner to set a Guinness Book of Records for the fastest average time. And I think it's around 2 hours and 40 minutes. Am I correct?
Yes, my average time now is 2 hours, 40 minutes, and 3 seconds. I have a whole story about it. Because I wanted to keep it under 2:40. And because the Guinness World Record is just for the 6 majors under 2:45. Because I seen a post last year about from World Marathon Majors, and they had this statistic, and this statistic said that among all the 6-star finishers, just over 50 of them I've run all of the 6 major under 2:45. And so it was easy for me to look at the Hall of Fame, look for all the names, and I searched the people, I asked them, I asked in the community, and I realized that I was the first diabetic with that standard, let's say. And so I asked to the Guinness World Record to be this an official attempt, and they approved, and so this is an official Guinness World Record attempt. So the Guinness World Record is for running under 2:45. But yes, you got me, because my average was before Berlin was 2:39:58, and my dream was to keep it under 2:40. Unfortunately, in Berlin, I had an accident because I was running. I was at the 5 kilometer at the first water station, and for us diabetic, it's really important to drink. We need to drink a lot and go a lot to the toilet, so I cannot skip the aid station. Also, because as you know, in Berlin, they are not so frequent at the beginning as, for example, in the US. So I didn't want to skip it. I was on the other side of the road, and the table were only on the left side. So I did the sign into that I was going to grab the water, but the guy behind me went straight and knocked me down at the floor. So basically, I went to the floor. I lost about 30 seconds, nothing so bad, let's say, but I had bloody wounds that needed to be medicated at the finish line. But still, I pushed, I was still in line for a personal best up to the half. Then I slowed down a little bit and I managed to run it in 2:40 and 24 seconds. I was going for personal best because my idea was to have a personal best in Berlin and then do what I can in New York just to stay under 2:45. But this would have kept me under 2:40. Now, after Berlin accident, my average is 2:40 and 0:03. And so it will be a dream here in New York, in Central Park, to to be able to keep the average under 2:40. But that is, let's say, not important. The important thing is to run under 2:45, and that is the Guinness World Record. And but if I feel strong, I can try to do it, but I don't think so, because New York is a hard course, as you know. And after the accident, I still have some niggles, so I don't think I will be able, but it is not important, the average. It is important, the message, and to obtain the Guinness World Record. And I will do all my best, as I did in Berlin, because in Berlin, I ran for that. I didn't want to lose the Guinness, and so I still ran. I needed to be medicated at the finish line with all the bloody wounds, but I made it. So, and I will make, there's no matter what happens today, because as you know, marathon can happen, anything can happen, but no matter what, I will reach that finish line. There is no way, because as you said, there's also my father here with me, that is the biggest supporter. He always supported me in Italy, and he never traveled outside Italy. And I told him, I will bring you at the finish line of the last measure, no matter what. It is not New York, and so I brought him for the first time outside Italy, and I paid for him the travel and so on. I purchased him grandstands, and he will be there. So I need to arrive at the finish line, so no matter the time.
Of course. It's a beautiful story. It's powerful. It's inspiring. And on so many levels. And as runners, we tend to get crazily hung up over round numbers, sub 3 hours, sub 2:40, this number, that number. The truth is, Simone, and I hope you know this, I'm sure you do, you're going to inspire a ton of people, whether you have an average of 2:45, 2:48, 2:41. That number, it's super important. That's how we are. We're driven and we're super competitive. But this podcast, the theme of the show, the mantra of the show is stay in the fight. And yeah, what happened to you in Berlin is a classic example of how runners can be tough when things are difficult, when they're challenging. You get knocked over, you're bleeding, you get up, you get moving, you get after it, and you still run an amazing time despite, you know, having a mishap with another runner, which can happen. But the thing that I want to make sure we get into, these times are amazing. I mean, I've run 2:40, that's a little over 6 minutes per mile. You know, it's an amazing feat. But way more amazing about it is that you're managing all this with type 1 diabetes. So before we came on and, you know, I introduced you and your dad, you came in the room, we got settled a little. We talked about how Abbott has helped you and using their technology has helped you. And just for the benefit of every runner or every non-runner out there in the world that has to manage diabetes and live with it, talk a little about Abbott, how their technology has helped you and how it helps you manage your type 1 diabetes disease, not only when you're running marathons, but just every single day of your life.
Yeah. For me, actually, the new technologies that came up just a few years ago changed my life, because I have type 1 diabetes since I am 12 years old, and so now I'm 36, so it's 24 years. I even don't remember my life before type 1 diabetes, basically. And up to a few years ago, we were pricking our fingers. We will take our blood with pricking our fingers and taking the test, and you actually needed to add the blood inside the machine and so on. And you know your blood sugar level at that moment, at that second. But then if you don't have the machine with you, you cannot, let's say, control your blood sugar while running in that way unless you stop. Now, with the new technology, I have this sensor. This sensor is the Freestyle Libre 3. And this is amazing because basically I have my phone here with me, but I have live my glucose level. And so, of course, during the race, during the marathon, I don't bring my phone with me, but they still have other technologies in order to, with wearables, in order to this, have. Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, this tracks it, right? So you yes. can see.
Yes, this tracks it. It is a different, it is always supported by Abbott because it uses the Libre 1 sensor. But this is actually Super Sapiens. That is another company that the sensors are provided by Abbott. But this is another company. And this one works with this band even without the phone. And so at present, I wear two sensors for this reason, just during the races, let's say. But in my daily life and in training, this one from Abbott is more than sufficient. And I know because I spoke with Abbott representative that in the future, there should be even more news. Most likely, even with the Garmin, I'm saying Garmin, but other watches, I don't know exactly, but in the wearables will be featured also by them. So this is, but even without during the race, it is a game changer because you don't only have it live in your phone with the alarms. So you know, oh, my glucose is going high, my glucose is low. No, you also can see the graph. You can see 24 hours what is happening. And so what I like about this, it is before we were blind, let's say. We were doing guessing. We are still doing guessing because unfortunately type 1 diabetes is so hard. We have so many variables to consider. We really, everything impacts, not only what you eat, how good you sleep, what you do, what physical activity, the weather, everything impacts. So, and there are no days that are created equal because you do the same thing, exactly the same, different days. Maybe there is the stress or something less. I don't know. Everything changes. But now we are still, let's say, guessing, and it's a 24-hour job, 36 days a year. But now we can see our actions, what the impact of our actions. I know that I did this and this happened, so I can be better the next time. So this is, for me, it's a game changer because actually now we have knowledge of what you do and what how it impacts your control. So I think that really, comparing to before, now it allows us to, let's say, have a better control and a better in general health condition, not only related to sports. Okay, this helps also the performance in sport, but in the daily life. So I think this is important for each one of us.
Yeah, it's super important. I have a close running friend. She's running tomorrow and her son has type 1 diabetes. And so she's really interested in hearing more about your story. She's following you and just amazingly impressed with your running as is anybody, regardless of whether you had type 1 diabetes. It's amazing, amazing running, consistent running. But at the age when boys or girls are getting it or developing it maybe in their youth, there is some fear, as you said, from parents maybe sometimes for their sons or daughters to play soccer or field hockey or lacrosse or baseball or football because, you know, look, it could be dangerous if it isn't handled properly, right? So you're a good example for them to say like, hey, if this guy could go out there and crush marathons, like if we learn how to use this technology the right way and we're monitoring it, you don't have to do the pinpricks anymore. I couldn't even imagine having to live with that. You know, you can do this. And so for you, like how do you do your fueling based on data that you're seeing? Or do you just have a system like, I know I have to take my gels every 5K and I have to take my drinks of X, Y, like how did you arrive at your fueling plan based on with your type 1 diabetes and having to manage it and run such fast times?
Well, of course you need to test everything in training as for every runner. And unfortunately, each type 1 diabetic is different because what works for me doesn't work for another one. So you need to test what works for you. But yes, I have a plan. I have a plan set according to my training. But then again, thanks to the technology, I can see it. Let's say I set a kind of alarm. If my glucose, because for example, for me, I do need to take a lot of gels because when I do physical activities, my glucose drops really fast, really, really, really fast. So this is why, for example, as you said, parents sometimes have fear for their children because they say, oh, they go in hypoglycemia and so they risk to faint and so on. So, of course, it is a risk. But if you do, you know what you are doing. If you study your nutrition, your strategy, and you have the aid of technology, I want to prove that you can we can achieve anything we want, and we don't have to give up on our dreams because we can achieve anything. So this is a message both for type 1 diabetics, and I really feel, because I was so shy up to a few months ago before knowing that I could set this Guinness. Nobody knew that I had type 1 diabetes. And then I said, okay, I need to expose myself because I can leverage this to do something good. And what I like is that now, not only on social media, but also in real life, people say, oh, you inspired me. I will tell you to my daughter. I will tell. But so this really makes me happy. And now I switched the topic, but talking about nutrition. So I do take a lot of gel. But then I know that if something happens, if my glucose goes under a certain number, I will have additional one. So I always have a lot of stuff, let's say. That's why for me, it's also hard. I cannot bring also my phone because nowadays phones are big and heavy. But also I have a lot of nutrition, a lot of other stuff. So I cannot carry most. So.
Yeah. Hey, that makes sense. And you know, a great thing with that technology is it continues to improve and advance and just develop. Is if there's a linkage with a Coros watch, a Garmin watch, a Polar watch, whatever, then the data point is there at your wrist. And we can customize our screens as runners. To yes. Some person, you know, heart rate is important to them. To someone else, their power from a stride foot pod is important. To someone else, they're only concerned with their kilometer pace. But we can set our screens up the way we want. So in your case, for anybody with diabetes, you can set that up if it has that field and it would be captured. And then you can just, I'm sure there's some sense of feel for sure when you're feeling like your energy might be waning. But the problem with that is with runners, we always feel like that. We always have spots in a race where we feel dead or our legs all of a sudden feel rubbery or our breathing gets labored. In your case, there's a lot more potentially that could impact you if you don't handle it right.
Yeah, of course. As you were saying, unfortunately, during real life, let's say normal life, it is easier maybe to understand, yes, maybe I'm going low, maybe I'm going high, but during a marathon, you are already have so many inputs, so many struggles going on. So it is really hard to understand. So the technology really helps. And as I said, now there is no direct link to the Garmin watch, but there should be in the future, I know. And this is what I like. I know that technology, because I heard about the news, that more is coming from Abbott itself, because if you read about the latest release, media release from their CEO, they are going to introduce even more wearables. Wearables is the future for them. And this is, I believe, it's really a game changer, not only glucose, because for me, it's important glucose. For another disease, maybe another parameter. And as you can say, we are focused on heart rate and so on, but this is for performance, let's say. For us, it's about our life and our, so it is really, really, really powerful. Yeah, really, really important for us. So I'm really excited about what is to come, because I've seen the changes in few years, already the changes, and thinking, oh, what will happen in the future? And then there is also another thing, because I also decided I didn't need to run for a charity, because I qualified with my times, both for Berlin and for New York. But I decided, since it's so important for me, to raise anyway for JDRF, that support the cure for diabetes. And so I have a fundraiser and my story is all there, but it's not important about this. But what is important is the message, because it is true. It is not just, let's say, a motto, something like that. Is that really, we are in the final mile for the diabetes research. It is really, really an exciting moment, because now we are going almost to test some, hopefully, cure on the man. So we are close to testing on humans, and if this work, we are done. So we are so close to find a definitive cure, and so that's why for me it's so exciting, because now technology helps, but also in the future maybe we will also have a cure. So it is an exciting moment to do this kind of stuff, because I want to prove to stay in the fight because we are close. We are really close to the finish line, let's say.
I love it. And that's why it's so inspiring to follow your journey. And again, sure, the times are amazing. They're amazing, unbelievably impressive. But what's more impressive is, you know, that you started this journey. It's only been a couple of years. You know, it's not like you have a long history in running. You lost some weight. You were active as a kid. You had a gap in there. So you kind of came and found running at this point in your life. And it's not like, you know, you started running, you know, 250 in your first marathon. I mean, you ran really impressive for a first marathon, but it's not like you were an amazing runner as a grade school kid or something and just came back and just started ripping these times. So it's super impressive. And anybody who's following your journey, it's important. So it's wonderful that you're running for a charity. Again, I agree with you. It's not about, do I raise $1,000, $1 million? It's just more awareness around this important initiative to help so many people. And even if a kid has no interest whatsoever in ever playing a sport, maybe they're interested in art or writing or reading or some other field, science, whatever it might be, they could become the next great science researcher. They could be the one who comes up with the cure for diabetes, or in my case, celiac, or some other, you know, autoimmune disease that's out there that's affecting a lot of people. So when you're out there doing something amazing like tomorrow, man, you know, it's not just all the runners and the Abbott community that we all like support the hell out of each other. Like, hey, the first thing we all do is like, hey, Simone, welcome to the Six Star family. It's the first message. Every person who has one will be like, welcome to the family, the best running club in the world. It's true. Like, as we grow bigger and bigger and it gains more momentum, it's just like, it gets more people thinking like, you know what? Maybe I can do that. I've run two so far. Maybe I can join this family. So tomorrow when you close that deal and your dad's in the grandstands and we're looking at him right now, it's going to be emotional, man. It's going to be seriously emotional. Have you like put yourself in that mind space where you thought like, okay, you told me you ran the end part of the course, you know, before we started today. Like, have you thought about it? Like when you're, you know, a few K to go, what that is going to feel like, you know, coming into the park, we can see it right out the window, Columbus Circle and the park. Like, have you thought about what that's going to feel like tomorrow?
I will be so emotional. I know I will cry at the finish line. I never cried, but I know that I will cry. It's so many emotions. For me, as you said, it's a journey that, I just started running 5 years ago. As you said, I played team sports, and then I had some accident, gained a lot of weight, and so started running just to lose weight, and then fell in love. And then in 2019, I said, okay, I need to run the 6 World Marathon Major. I want to run the most important races in the world. And so my idea was to run 2 of them each year, one in the spring, one in the fall. But then COVID pandemic started, and so delayed my plans. That's why I'm running 3 this year, because I wanted to close this year. And for me, tomorrow is not at the end of just of this journey. There are so many stories. So for me, I know that I will cry. I don't know if I will start before or after the finish, or maybe when I see my father in the grandstand. I don't know, but it will happen, I'm sure. Or when I get the 6-star medal on the neck, but it will happen for sure, for sure. And as you said, I love this journey. I love this so much that I'm a planner. I already know what I will do in the future, and I already know what my next challenge will be. And I've decided I will continue running the measures because they are different. They are, you can tell. I ran up to now 11 marathons, and 5 of them are majors. So I've run also other events, but they are completely different. The emotion, the people that you met. Also, what I like is that you meet a lot of people, stories. It is really, really amazing, and I want to end this journey. So I will probably, not as you, let's say, all in 1 year, but I will do another round for sure.
I love it. And the Abbott family is a special family. You know, over these last years, it's amazing how many incredibly close friendships I've developed, and it's all around the globe. So, you know, that's the one thing, people tend to stay in their own lane, their own space. You know, you're from Spain, you're from London, you're from here. Like, you know your people, you know your country, you know the sports they like or the politics or whatever it might be. But running opens up this like whole world in a very different way. And for me, I feel like I'm 12 years old when I go to a country like Tokyo and people are like, hey, are you going to host the ShakeOut? Can I come to your run? I want to run with you. Can I meet you at the expo? And it's just like, what a blessing. What a blessing to use a sport and share a journey and get other people inspired to want to run and be healthier. And in my case, you know, I'm going to be 63. And like, that's my message. Like, hey, if I can run all six of these in 1 year and I can still keep doing this, like, you can. Maybe, you know, maybe running isn't going to be your thing. The same thing. Maybe somebody's going to hear your story, Simone, and go like, I don't want to run anymore, but you know what? I want to start playing tennis again, or I want to start playing soccer again, or I want to play golf again. Whatever it is, as long as people are being active and being healthy, yeah, then we're winning. That's what's important.
That is the message, because I was saying before, for me, it's not just about type 1 diabetes. So of course, for me, it is important to inspire them. But I think that if you, I don't know if you will post my link, my stories somewhere, I suggest people to read it, because I think it is inspirational also for others, also for people in general. Because if we manage to do what we do, if I do, no matter for diabetes and so on, if I manage to get there, what is your excuse not to adopt a healthy lifestyle, to do some sports and to improve your health? And also your life, because my life has changed, as you said. You meet a lot of amazing people. I would like to mention a couple, because, for example, you mentioned Rob before when we chat. I met him in Berlin, and we had an amazing moment, and I met him with him yesterday night, because in Berlin, actually, we spoke, and you feature his story. So I know your story. People that follows you knows his stories. And his dad was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and unfortunately died for that. And what I did not tell you is that my father, he was supposed to come with me, but he also had prostate cancer. And we didn't know up to a few weeks ago if he could come or not, because he has taken surgery. And then we had a green light and he could come here. And so Rob told to me, I need to meet your father. And so yesterday we went to eat some pizza together. And so this is amazing. You meet amazing people. And also you said you may be inspired by other people. Because why I decided to expose myself? As I said, I was shy, but I wanted to do something good. But what inspired me is hearing about Thomas' story in Tokyo. Because when I knew that he was the first deaf-born runner achieving the 6 stars, and I knew that I was the first diabetic, I say, oh, maybe I can do something like that even. So, as you said, I've been inspired by him. I may inspire somebody else. And so I think this is amazing about the stories and the community that is running this event. So
thank you for sharing that. And your dad's here, so we're going to wish him the best and we're going to pray for him. And Rob's dad had a huge role in him and his sister completing the 6-star journey together. And it bonded the family, and it gave him a deeper purpose later in his life as he was like fighting to hang on. And you know, it was just a special family moment as you're going to have with your dad. And, you know, our time on this earth is not guaranteed. None of us know how long we're going to have, or how healthy our journey is going to be, or when the speed bumps are going to come, or when it's just going to end. So, you know, you got to live your life, man. And you got to live it with gusto, man. Like, go after it, man. You just take your shot. You take your swings. And, you know, being shy, being introverted. It's amazing how many runners I've had on my show who are shy or more introverted, but you know, I'm the opposite. So they somehow feel a little more comfortable with me because I get people to open up a little, but I know it's going to have an impact, people hearing your story. So what I'm interested, I always want to know the psychology of it. So whether it was in grade school, whether it was in sports, like, was there anybody who just really inspired you, or maybe had an impact on you, a teacher, a coach, a parent, a sibling, like somebody who like you just said like, okay, I'm going to follow in his footsteps, or he inspired me or moved me?
Well, what I can mention is always related to running, because when I started running, my first idea was, because I was not running back then, as you know, as I told you, but even there, my most important moment in sport history was the 2004 Olympics, where an Italian, Stefano Baldini, ran the won the gold medal in Athens, where the marathon started and so on. So for me, even if back then I did not run, for me it was always the best sporting event, seeing an Italian guy win the gold medal in Athens. So when I started running, I said, okay, I need to follow his step and I want to run the marathon. That's why immediately after I started running, I did not start with 5Ks or something. No, I want to run marathons. And even now, my coach and so on, they say that my times makes no sense, because with my personal best in the marathon, I should be way more faster in slower, in shorter races. But no matter what, I'm interested in the marathon. So, and he inspired me because I wanted to follow his step and say, the first thing was, okay, I need to run a marathon. And after I started running, just less than 6 months after I started running, I ran my first marathon. And after that, my idea was, okay, now I need to run the six more important marathons in the world. And but yes, he inspired me because it's always been in my mind, the sporting event. And as soon as I realized I can do it, I did. I need to do it. And so I need to...
I love it. That's awesome. It's been so fun talking with you and getting to know you better. And just, it's inspiring. I'm inspired listening to your story. And I know people who will tune into this will have it as a podcast. We'll put it up on Instagram. And you had mentioned, and automatically I would do that anyway, I will share links to any, not just fundraising, but anything, any posts that you've done with Abbott or any links, so people can learn a little bit more about your journey or your story. So that'll be like after the fact, it'll be a few weeks that this will all come out. But as a last question, I like to ask every guest, like, hey, is there one maybe final message that you want to leave with me and the Run Chats audience, people that are going to tune in and listen to the podcast or maybe watch the video on Instagram?
The message for me is don't give up on your dreams. If you have a dream, just follow. We all have different, let's say, different challenges. I have diabetes. Somebody else can have something different. But no matter the challenge, you need to fight and to believe in your dreams, and we can overcome this. So there is always a way. So don't give up. Don't always, always go after your dreams. Because tomorrow I will achieve mine, and so you can achieve yours too. Let's say.
That's absolutely beautiful. What a great place to land it. And you could also say, stay in the fight, because that is life, man. And he has life.
I wanted to say, but I didn't want to steal your motto.
No, we're not stealing. We're sharing, my brother. Okay. We're sharing, man, because we're all in this. We're all in our own journeys, every single one of us. But in some point, we all interlocked at some point, right? Rob's journey, you know, Thomas's journey, your journey, mine. We all somehow, we share some space, some commonality, and that's what brings us together. That's what connects us all. And we're living the dream, man. God bless. And I appreciate you coming up here with the race tomorrow and sitting down and chatting with me, getting a chance to meet your dad. I appreciate it so much. I wish you like wings behind you, man, and Godspeed out there, man, to have a great race. But no matter what the time is, man, enjoy every step of that moment, because this is, it's the culmination of this piece, this chapter of the story, but it's a big piece, and we have to celebrate it, man. So cross that line, man, and get that six-star medal and talk to the crew over there, and I'm sure they'll get you on video, and then go hug your pops, man, and celebrate it together, man. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes, I will celebrate. As I said before the chat, no matter the time, of course, the time is important for the record, but I will end this race, and I will get the most from the crowd and so on, because I know that the crowd is amazing in New York, so I will enjoy the journey, and it will be so emotional. It will be a very big day, a very special day, and so really, it doesn't matter the time. Anything can happen in the marathon, but I will reach the finish line, and it will be so amazing. So
beautiful. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing more of your story with me. That's going to inspire lots of people and me and everyone I know who's a runner in the space. And certainly every person out there that lives with the challenges of diabetes are going to be amazed and wowed and inspired by what you're doing. And just keep it up, man. Keep it rolling, man. And just enjoy every step out there tomorrow. And we tell all the runners at the end of every show, keep lacing them up, keep getting out the door, and always remember to stay in the fight.
Fight.
Yes. Wow, Simone is an amazing guy. What an inspiring story. And I think the conversation was extra special because his dad had never left Italy. It was his first time out of the country, and he flew over to New York to be with Simone and be sitting there in the grandstand finish area right by Tavern on the Green, right at the finish line, so he could be there to celebrate this accomplishment with his son. He's been a huge supporter of Simone's running and supporting him along the journey, and he's been battling prostate cancer, and his health hasn't been great, so he was just very thrilled that his dad was able to make the trip with him and be there for this big occasion for him, setting this Guinness World Record as the fastest type 1 diabetic runner with an average time of 240, 230 per marathon. Truly impressive stuff. Fun conversation for anybody out there that either is handling diabetes on their own, maybe their children have it. A lot of parents that are managing that with their kids, with their children, are always worried about how safe is it going to be for them playing sports, whatever it might be, soccer, lacrosse, football, et cetera. And it's great to see the improvements in the glucose monitoring technology, the sensors that can go to wrist wearable technology and let athletes know exactly where their glucose levels are. And that's certainly a huge, huge piece in helping people manage this for different sports. But it's really impressive that Simone is doing this in the marathon where you're out there for a much longer period of time. So kudos to him for his great running and for sharing his story with us. And I hope you all are inspired by it and look forward to seeing him out there. Give him a follow and root him luck as he gets ready to start his second round of World Marathon Majors. We hope to see him out there, and we hope that this will inspire many other diabetic runners out there to take on the 6-star challenge or any type of running for that matter, just to get healthy as Simone started his, just to lose weight. So anyway, I hope you all enjoy the listen. Keep getting out there, my friends. Keep lacing them up. Keep getting out the door, and always remember to stay in the fight. Look forward to seeing you all out there at 2024 races around the globe. Peace out, my friends.